The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
NFL training camps are underway and head coaches are talking. Today on NFL Live, we're going to take you all around the country with our coaches camp pass tour. Welcome to NFL Live on this Friday with Damian Woody, Kimberly Martin, and Rob Ninkovich. I am Dan Graziano, and over the next hour, you are going to hear from a lot of NFL coaches from training camps around the league. We're going to take you to Dallas, Minnesota, Kansas City, and Tampa, just to name a few. But we begin in Foxborough, Massachusetts, where the 11-time defending AFC East champions are trying to figure out how to keep that streak going without Tom Brady. They're hoping the man who can do it is former Panthers quarterback Cam Newton. His new coach spoke today.
We've done a lot of meetings, a lot of walkthroughs, a lot of information's been transferred to all the players. And he's worked very hard. I'd say as all of our players have. We have a hardworking group. I'd say that certainly for all the quarterbacks at that position, those guys have been locked in, been focused, have worked extremely hard, all four of them. Cam's a hardworking kid. He really is.
He's a big guy for sure. Just his physical presence. I've played against him a couple of times before, and, he's always been a great player, where that's, just his versatility, his ability to run the ball or pass as well. He's been able to do that at a high level for many years. And so he's come in right away, head down, trying to pick it up as quick as possible.
For more on the Patriots, we bring in the best Patriots reporter in the land. That would be ESPN's Mike Reese, who joins us now. Mike, what are your thoughts on what you heard from the Patriots today?
Well, Dan, you have to love the 68-year-old Bill Belichick calling the 31-year-old Cam Newton a hardworking kid. We're all kids in Bill Belichick's world. But on a serious note, it's the old saying, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And by all accounts, Cam Newton is making a solid first impression on his Patriots coaches and teammates. A few words that stand out to me that I've heard from them talking about Cam Newton: energy, intelligence, presence. And while Bill Belichick doesn't want to make this about Cam Newton, he's always trying to deflect and talk about all the quarterbacks. Seems like so far so good in terms of how Newton is meshing with the Patriots.
Yeah, and I think it's probably the first time we've ever seen a hat like that on the field at Patriots training camp. So Cam Newton already bringing about changes there. In terms of being a kid, Mike, I think we can all be kids as long as we believe it. The Patriots lost the second most snaps of any team from last season, trailing only Cam Newton's former team, the Panthers. Tom Brady, Kyle Van Noy, and Jamie Collins all left as free agents, and then projected starters Marcus Cannon, Dante Hightower, and Patrick Chung all opted out under the COVID-19 protocols. So Cam is in New England trying to beat out Jared Stidham for the starting quarterback job there, while Brady, we're pretty sure, has the starting job locked up in Tampa Bay. So I'm looking at these two guys in these two situations, and Rob, I want to start with you. Would you say there's more pressure on Cam Newton or Tom Brady this season?
I'm going to go with Cam Newton, and that's because the expectations for the Patriots every single year are to win a Super Bowl, not just win your division. I want you to think about this. Since 2008, the Patriots have not lost the division. So that's 11 seasons in a row. After you win a division in the Patriots organization, they put your T-shirt wrapped in a rubber band in the hat. You look at it, you throw it behind you, you throw it in your locker. It really doesn't mean much to you because you know that your job is to get to that big game, the Super Bowl, and win the Super Bowl. So Tom Brady in Tampa, if he wins the division there, they'll carry him off the field. I mean, the pressure that is on Cam Newton to come into the station and kind of take the lead, so to speak, and get to where Tom Brady has been so many times. I think that puts extra pressure on Cam Newton to come into the Patriots organization to replace the greatest quarterback of all time. That's pressure. Tom Brady, on the other hand, if he goes down to Tampa, he wins the division. Guess what? It's the best team to do it in the last 10 years. So I think that the pressure is squarely on Cam Newton.
I love Nink, but I completely disagree. I think it's 100% Brady, because Brady may have six rings, but he has sixth round pick mentality still. And where is the hype train? The hype train is in Tampa Bay. What have we been talking about with the Patriots? All the players who aren't there anymore, all the guys who have opted out. Cam Newton hasn't played 14 games in 2 years. So Cam is coming off injuries. It's a new team. Who are the leaders going to be in New England? Conversely, in Tampa, I mean, look at this roster. I think it's Super Bowl or bust for Tampa, and he's replacing Jameis Winston. I think Tom is looking at this situation like, I'm going to show that I can win a Super Bowl without Bill Belichick.
Well, listen, I love my friend Kimberly Martin, but I'm going to disagree.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to go with I know. I'm going to go with Cam Newton. Listen, the last time we saw really high-end football from Cam Newton was the first half of 2018. You know, all the questions that's been asked about Cam Newton, is he healthy? Those questions are going to continue to remain until we see Cam Newton out on the field and producing at the high level like he was during that 2018 season before he got injured. So when I look at the two quarterbacks, as far as Tom Brady's concerned, we're not going to wipe out his 20-year legacy with the New England Patriots. Last time I checked, this is a guy that went to 9 Super Bowls, won 6, has accumulated a bunch of records as far as the record book. So his legacy is already established and done. Whatever he does down in Tampa Bay, it's really icing on top of the cake, but it's all on Cam Newton playing on a 1-year deal to try to reestablish where he is as far as the hierarchy in the National Football League.
Rob, first of all, I want to know how many of those T-shirts are still wrapped in hats at the back of your locker when you went to clean it out when you left New England. And then when you're done with that, I'd like you to predict whether the Patriots win the division this year.
Honestly, I don't know where any of my hat and T-shirts are. I usually just gave them to my dad because I wasn't really going to wear them. Unless you win a Super Bowl, I'm telling you, unless you win the Super Bowl, it's kind of like a lost season. So, I think that the Patriots have what it takes because they have Bill Belichick as your head coach. He's going to prepare that team, and especially with these question marks with the time, you don't have OTAs, you don't have a regular training camp, there's no preseason games. Bill Belichick is going to get that team ready to go for situational football, and there's going to be teams out there that won't be coached well, and you have new coaches and new situations who haven't had a chance to coach their team. So, you know, if you look at the Giants, for example, with a new head coach, you think that team is going to be prepared to go? It's going to be really tough when you don't have the time in the offseason. So I think that the Patriots will be right up there. They only really have to focus on the Bills. Miami's up and coming. We know that. The Jets are a huge question mark this season. So I'm going to say that they're going to go for number 12 here and try and win 12 divisions in a row.
Bill Belichick, of course, has 6 Super Bowl rings as a head coach. Andy Reid of the Kansas City Chiefs finally got his first one last year. Kansas City's offseason has gone about as well as anybody could have hoped for so far. And today, Andy Reid spoke of the challenge his team faces as it tries to repeat.
There's a tremendous amount of urgency that goes into that and attention to detail. You hear coaches say this, but it's real if you want to play at that level. And there are a bunch of different things, obstacles that you have to go through during a season. I think it's no more evident than the one we just had. And so you've got to have the right mindset. And then on top of that, every once in a while, you need to catch a break here or there. That ball's not round. It bounces funny. And, you know, you hope it bounces your way and you get a couple breaks in there. But the attention and detail becomes a huge thing for you and be willing to work.
I think there's a lot of reasons, man. And one is because we got great guys in the locker room. We got great guys in the facility. Great people in the facility. And it's just overall, it's a fun atmosphere every single time you come to work. And guys don't want to leave that. Guys want to keep building off of that. And it's a beautiful thing when you have ownership, trust in you, want to make change with you in terms of the season and the community. And then on top of that, just going out there and playing football with guys who come to work every single day and fight their tail off for you, man.
Rob Ninkovich, what is the biggest challenge the Chiefs face as they try to repeat?
Well, sometimes that Super Bowl hangover lasts a long time, and you have to forget about last year and that they had won a Super Bowl. Everyone has a target on the Kansas City Chiefs right now. Whoever they play, it doesn't matter the record of the team that they're about to play. They want to measure themselves accordingly to the championship team. And when you do that, I know I have been on championship teams, and next year I can remember back to when we played the Cleveland Browns and they had Peyton Hillis running all over the field. They were breaking out all the flea flickers and the fumble rooskies. They were doing whatever they possibly could to beat us, and they did. So I'm just saying it's a lot tougher when you're the champions because that target is on your back.
I was trying to think which team in that division would pose the biggest threat, and I'll be honest, I don't think anybody poses a threat to the Chiefs. I really do think it's on the Chiefs, understanding that what they're being sold on right now is we're trying to build a dynasty right now. This is why we're signing all these guys, big impact guys, Mahomes, Kelce, Chris Jones. We need to keep this nucleus intact for us to keep going and build on this thing. I really don't see there being, I don't want to put any other team down, but I don't see there being that stiff competition in the division. I think the Chiefs are the only thing that can get in the Chiefs' way.
Cool. Okay.
Damon, you've won Super Bowl. What is in store for the Chiefs this year as they try to defend?
Well, listen. Rob knows as well as I do. Anyone that plays in a Super Bowl, listen, when you win a Super Bowl, a couple things have to happen. You got to be healthy, obviously good. You got to have a little luck on your side. This year, being a Super Bowl champion, guess what? Every team that's on you, every team, every week that you face, go against Kansas City Chiefs, they're going to play you like it's their Super Bowl. It's immensely harder, you know, being a Super Bowl champion the following year. So a lot of times those things don't add up the following year. You're not as healthy. You don't have those bounces that you had the prior year. Sometimes complacency falls in. That's why you don't see a lot of repeats in the National Football League, because it's just that hard. And so when you add it all up, though, to me, those are the obstacles that are in the way of the Kansas City Chiefs this year.
Been 16 years since we had a repeat Super Bowl champion. That'd be the 2003-04 New England Patriots. We'll see if the Chiefs can pull it off. Now to an interesting story out of Seattle. The Seahawks waived cornerback Kima Sivirand earlier this week after he was caught on video trying to sneak a woman into the team hotel. The woman was wearing Seahawks gear in an attempt to disguise herself as a player. The league's COVID protocols prohibit visitors, outside visitors in team hotels. Damian, I'm sure everybody had a reaction when they saw this story. What was yours?
Come on, bro. Like, I mean, really, really? Listen, first of all, you're an undrafted free agent going into your first training camp. Your whole mindset in this offseason, in the truncated offseason, where you had no offseason program, no preseason games, and you only got a few weeks to get ready for week one, your whole focus should be trying to make the roster. And your mindset is let me try to sneak a woman into the team hotel? Like, so where's your mindset at, man? I mean, you worked all of these years to get to this point to try to make an NFL roster, and you blow it over one night. It's just silly, unacceptable.
Damien's cracking me up. I have the same reaction. How can you be this foolish? Because how are you going to trust a player like this on Sunday when you can't even trust that he'd be smart enough to understand he's an undrafted rookie, that he's not going to be afforded the same second chances and opportunities as guys with status, draft picks? I mean, come on now. If this were Russell Wilson, it wouldn't, you know. If this were Jamal Adams, you think they'd cut him? No. We might not even hear this story. But this is why you have to understand where you stand on the field. And he doesn't stand on the field anymore because of this foolish mistake.
I just want to know, was she like 6'2", 25 to 30? Like, how was she trying to be a player? How was she trying to dress like a player? That's like that kind of messes me up a little bit in the head to think about, like, oh, let's put on some Seahawks stuff and maybe you'll pass as a player. But yeah, like Woody was saying, when you're a rookie or you're a free agent, low draft pick, you have no leash. Like, you don't have any leeway. You make a mistake, they're just going to cut you. They don't care about a rookie who really doesn't have any stance or status on the team. They're just get ready to get another guy that's hungry, that's going to try and make the right decisions. So, I mean, the guy made a mistake. I'm sure he understands he made a big mistake, and now he's looking for a new team.
Yeah, lots of potential things that wouldn't have been thought of as big mistakes in past years will be this year, obviously, as we have some fun with it, but obviously a very serious situation as teams try to make sure they maintain at least their team-specific bubbles to limit spread of infection and hopefully get this season going. As we've told you once or twice here on ESPN, the Dallas Cowboys were not able to get a long-term deal done with Dak Prescott this offseason, but they did add some big names. All started with the hiring of head coach Mike McCarthy back in January, and ever since then they've added Gerald McCoy, Everson Griffin, Alden Smith, Dontari Poe, HaHa Clinton Dix, Andy Dalton. In free agency, they also added another weapon for Dak, selecting C.D. Lamb in the first round of the 2020 NFL Draft. And for more on the Cowboys, we welcome in Ed Werder, who's in Frisco at Cowboys camp, where the team practiced today for the first time in helmets and shells. Ed, the Cowboys have changed head coaches, but not, I would imagine, expectations.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Exactly right. Jerry Jones said when hiring Mike McCarthy, just the third experienced head coach in franchise history, that the ability was his proven ability to build a team and build a winner. Jones described him as a head coach who wins consistently and has done so at the highest level. Stephen Jones, the executive vice president of the team, said at the beginning of this camp that he believes this roster is as talented as any they've had the past decade, so organizational expectations are high. As for McCarthy, he inherits a team he believes will score points but has to be capable of protecting leads to win games. That's accomplished with the pass rush. The addition of Gerald McCoy, Dontari Poe, Alden Smith, and Everson Griffin, all experienced and accomplished defensive linemen, addresses that priority and sends a message to the locker room about the commitment of the front office.
We want to win. That's the goal. We want to win a championship, and that's why we're here. To have veteran guys on the defensive side of the ball who have played in big games and been a part of winning cultures, man, it's awesome to have this many vets here, and they're ready to win a championship.
I'm really applying the front office on what they're doing to bring, you know, better pass rushers to the Dallas Cowboys. One thing I respect about it is it's only going to make me better and make me, you know, want to be the best. And being around great pass rushers, that you know you have to keep that energy and that focus in order to, you know, strive for greatness.
Well, new defensive coordinator Mike Nolan's emphasizing creating turnovers and using disguise to challenge offenses. Defensive line coach Jim Tomsula wants to have flexibility up front so he can create and exploit matchups. Dan, the defense has been a problem here. In the Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott era, the Cowboys defense ranks 27th in pressure percentage and 31st in interceptions.
Thanks, Ed. Lots of interesting names on that Cowboys roster in an effort to address that pass rush. Dallas coming off an 8-8 season, obviously hoping to do better this year. Damian, they look good on paper, but I feel like we say that all the time about the Cowboys. How good do you think they really are?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Well, I think the Dallas Cowboys can be good. They can be really good. I think if you're just going by their roster, they do have one of the more talented rosters in all of football. But that's never been the question about the Dallas Cowboys. The real question has always been coaching and can these guys finish? You know, they were able to put up points last year. There's no question about that. And I think they would have brought it up that the defense haven't been able to help seal the deal for the Dallas Cowboys. So, yes, I believe the Dallas Cowboys will be in the thick of things, but I'm still picking the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC East for a couple reasons. One, I think the continuity that they have from top to bottom, head coach, quarterback, same system in place. Carson Wentz has proven to be one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League, and I think they've definitely improved their roster this offseason. So in the NFC East, I'm going to get a slight edge to the Philadelphia Eagles, and it's definitely going to be a battle between those two ball clubs.
Rob Ninkovich, what do you think about the Cowboys?
I think the Cowboys defensively improved tremendously. I love the Poe move. I think Lawrence is going to be motivated because last year, 5 sacks. I mean, he's going to hear people talking about that. You got Sean Lee, who's a veteran, who's still there that's going to help lead. You look at Everson Griffin, who I really like as a defensive end. He's a 275-pound big body guy that can play 3 downs for you. He can stop the run. So I think that they have tremendous upside defensively. When you look at DeMarcus Lawrence, Griffin, McCoy, Poe on the interior, I just think that they could be a very, very disruptive front. If this is a big if they are all motivated to get out there and to prove that they are legit in a contending team, I think they have the ability to win a division with that defense.
Here's why I'm mad, guys, because I was bamboozled by the Browns not too long ago. I believed in that paper roster. Looking at that roster, it's pretty, looks nice, all these additions, and then what happens? It does not translate on the field. Now, I'm not comparing the Cowboys to the Browns. However, I'm talking about the danger in just looking at a roster and thinking, okay, this team's set. They're going to be money, and then they disappoint. And what have we seen from the Cowboys over and over again? They disappoint despite the talent. We thought the Amari Cooper trade midseason was going to be that final oomph that takes them over the finish line, and they disappointed again. 8-8 last year, that was such a disappointing finish. Hopefully, for Cowboys fans, this season will be different because, like you guys are saying, the roster looks immaculate, but I want to see it on the field.
Remember, though, there hasn't been a defending champion in the NFC East that repeated since 2003, 2004 when the Eagles did it. So the Eagles won last year. Somebody else has to do it. And ESPN's Football Power Index gives the Cowboys an 11% chance to reach the Super Bowl this year. That is the best number in the NFC behind only the Saints and the 49ers. Yeah, those two guys both can put on a show. There's no doubt about it. Great players with big personalities. If you had to pick one of the two, you're starting a team, you need a tight end, Damian Woody, you can pick one of those two. Who are you taking?
Well, listen, no disrespect to Travis Kelce, but my man George Kittle can block. Like, this dude is a full-grown man blocking on the line of scrimmage. And I think that's what makes him so unique, is he's like a two-way player. He's the type of guy that he can set the edge in the running game. Not many tight ends can be the focal point in the running game, but George Kittle is. And oh, by the way, he's the focal point in the passing game for the San Francisco 49ers too. So he's just an unbelievable, unique player that you just don't see around the National Football League.
You're going to make me choose between chocolate cake and linguine with clam sauce. I love them both, but they both hit different at different times. But it's Kittle all day because of what you talked about, Damian. Just this kid, I mean, the way he plays the game, like he takes so much pride in pancake blocking dudes the same way he loves trying to catch 60-yard touchdowns like in open space. Like, he does so much on the field that it doesn't even show up in the stat box, and that's what you love. This guy, I've been in that locker room. I felt the energy from him, and I know that those guys feed off of his energy as well. I know the defense is a big reason why they made the Super Bowl, but Kittle, he's a different breed just based on the energy and what he's able to do in all facets of the game.
Okay, hold up. Like, I just want to pump the brakes a little bit. I know you guys have the love fest with Kittle, the love fest with Kelsey, but people probably call me a homer on this one. But what about the original, the real wrestling?
Are we talking about Gronk?
The guy that's in the ring. Yeah, we're talking about Gronk, because I'm going to tell you something. I've faced him every single day in practice. I had to go against him in the run blocking. You talk about run blocking. That guy took a person and threw him off of the field into the Gatorade boxes, the Gatorade coolers. So I just want to talk about Gronkowski. Let's not forget. I know he took a year off to recharge the batteries, but you're going to have Rob Gronkowski down in Tampa with a motivated Tom Brady. We talked about that earlier. I think Gronkowski is going to have that belt around him a bunch this year. He might have it four times, five times, six. We'll see. But I think Rob Gronkowski is going to be one of the best tight ends in the league, if not the best this year, because he is refreshed, recharged, ready to go.
Wait a minute. I knew you were going to slide Gronk back into this conversation when we weren't even talking about Gronk. That's number one. And number two, so right now you're saying that Gronk is going to be right there with Kittle and Kelce?
Let him have it, Damian. Let him have it right now.
Woody, yes. Okay. Yes.
All right. All right.
Kelsey's 30 years old. They're the same age. Kelsey, Gronk, same age. And Gronk's got how many touchdowns? I don't know, 70-something? Crazy.
So Kimberly's making us hungry, and Rob is pumping up his friends. That's what's going on in our tight end segment. But we have other stuff to talk about. New on NFL Live out there in Las Vegas. Raiders coach John Gruden says Marcus Mariota really fired me up today. He has turned a corner with his ankle, and he's a dazzling playmaker. He had a very nice day. So, for those who haven't been following, Marcus Mariota, the former Titans quarterback, signed a $7.5 million fully guaranteed contract with the Raiders this offseason, presumably to back up Derek Carr, who's the starter there still, right, Kimberly?
Yeah, he's the starter for now, right? I'm personally not convinced that he's the long-term solution, not because I don't think Derek Carr is good, but I'm not convinced that the head coach, Gruden, is convinced. And I think that's where it starts. He clearly likes Mariota. And even Derek Carr has mentioned recently feeling frustrated and disrespected. And I mean, part of that's on him too. You know, you got to make plays. I understand. You know, he was averaging like 6.2 air yards per pass last year. That was a league low. Now they've upgraded the wide receiving core, which is only going to help Derek Carr. And he needs a good season to solidify his status there. But it's been 6 years and we're still asking, is Derek Carr the guy in Oakland, Vegas? That's a problem.
Well, listen, we always knew that John Gruden has a wandering eye when it came to quarterbacks. You know, he always falls in love with the next quarterback. And he's always been hyping up Marcus Mariota, even when he came out of Oregon. So there's a reason why Marcus Mariota is in Las Vegas. And if Derek Carr starts to slip, you better believe John Gruden is going to make that move.
Will be interesting to follow. Derek Carr the other day saying that he's tired of being disrespected, so perhaps he's motivated to elevate his game this year. We will see. Time now to play a game of Sounds Good, Sounds Bad, where we play a soundbite and our distinguished panel tells us whether it sounds good or sounds bad. First up, Bruce Arians and Tom Brady have plenty of stuff to work out in training camp, but the head coach says the quarterback is the least of his worries. In fact, he's treating him just like any other guy.
He's probably the least of my worries right now. he's where he needs to be. We need to get more live reps. Tom will get all his fast snaps in shorts starting tomorrow, you know, and that will help. But it's a blocking and tackling game. It's a physical game. Seeing how he processes the information that he thinks he knows, and we'll find out if he does know and doesn't know, and at a much higher pace, and you know, we haven't gone against their defense, and we're very complicated defensively. So it'll be a lot of fun for him.
Oh no, he's just another guy. You know, he gets cussed out like everybody else. So it's no different that way.
Damian Woody, sounds good or sounds bad?
No, this sounds good. Listen, players are creatures of habit, and Tom Brady's been used to getting cussed out for 20 years up in New England, so this is not going to affect him at all. You know, this is what it's all about for him. So, if, you know, Tom Brady, who always has a chip on his shoulder, hell, that's exactly what I want to keep me going. So, sound good to me.
I mean, it sounds good, but I don't know if he's a Jag. You know, a Jag? Come on, he's the GOAT now. He's the greatest of all time. just another guy. One time they called me a Jag and it offended me. I didn't like that too much. So maybe he might have had a little talk to him after that interview, like, hey, you're not just another guy. I'm gonna yell at you.
Nick,
I'm gonna get you motivated, but you're not just another guy.
Hey, Nick, I think you're right on that. Like, you can't be talking to the GOAT like that, like you're just another guy. Let's be real here, Bruce. Come on now.
We'll see how it goes.
In theory, that sounds good.
There in Tampa with Tom Brady and Bruce Arians. Next up, we have Jamal Adams. He was traded, you'll remember, from the Jets to the Seahawks a couple weeks back. Jets defensive coordinator Greg Williams, a very self-confident individual, says Adams doesn't know how good he had it in New York, and he might get bored in Seattle.
You know, we're not just a state, you know, but Jamal may get bored there because they don't use their safety type things and all the different complexities of not showing what they're doing as much as we do.
Gosh, we're so simple here, you know, and basic that we probably won't get to any of that stuff. Well, let's just pass it back to we don't make as many mistakes as he does. Come on, Greg, fire back. Let's have some fun with this.
Kimberly?
That sounds so bad. Imagine Pete Carroll's across the country minding his own business, and you talking about his vanilla cover three. I mean, Greg Williams, come on. In that one interview, he managed to take a shot at Pete Carroll and take credit for Jamal Adams' season last year. I don't know. I'm not sure the last time Greg Williams sniffed a Super Bowl, it's been over a decade. I mean, come on. Seattle's doing just fine with their defense. They've been to two Super Bowls recently and won one.
Hey, that's just as bad as that dyed goatee he's got.
Wow.
How you gonna expect me to follow that up? I mean, that was, you brought it off the top rope, man. Listen, Pete Carroll responded just the way that I thought Pete would respond. You know, have a little fun with it, but it's true. Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, his brand of defense has been working for a long time in the National Football League, and I'm sure Jamal Adams is going to plug in and play his behind off.
Yeah.
And he's playing for a potential playoff team, Super Bowl contender. I think he'll be just fine.
I feel like I put that one a little bit on a tee for you guys there. Finally, Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns have a new head coach. His name is Kevin Stefanski, and we would imagine the offense would change with the new offensive head coach. Mayfield talked about how his mentality is changing during this year's training camp.
You know, just the past couple years have been a roller coaster of emotions and not nearly as much success as I'm used to. So I would say I lost myself, you know, not having that success, not finding out what was working. I think I tried different ways of, you know, trying to have that success and I didn't find it. So I lost myself in that, and I wasn't able to be who I am for these guys on the team. And I've told them that, and I've told them that if I'm not doing that, hold me accountable.
Rob, sounds good or sounds bad?
I think that sounds bad. Sounds like he was a broken man, had no confidence. It sounds like he was all the way done and over with it. So for me, I don't know. Like, where is he at mentally right now? Is he coming into this season questioning his abilities? It sounds like that might be the case, considering, you know, he wasn't what he expected to be, and he doesn't know how is he gonna get back to that. So for me, I think it sounds bad. You want your quarterback to be confident and ready to roll.
Kimberly, you mentioned earlier in the show, yeah, Cleveland burned you last year, right?
Oh, man,
so bad. You buying it this time?
But I like that. I like that. That sounds good to me, because there's nothing worse than people who are not self-aware. And if Baker Mayfield is telling you, you know what, I realized some things about myself and I just didn't have it, you at least want that acknowledgement and that accountability. And hopefully for the Browns and their fan base, this is a much different season for Baker Mayfield.
Damien, you want to weigh in?
Listen, I want brash Baker Mayfield. I want Baker,
was that
the Baker that's talking trash
was
to everybody.
Was that working?
I want that guy. So it sounded like to me he acknowledged that, like, yeah, I'm bringing that back. Good on him. That's what I want.
Well, it worked for him his rookie year. He had 4 game-winning drives, tied for 3rd in the league last year. He only had 1, so we'll break the tie, I guess, in year 3.